Welcome, everybody, to a New Year's Eve edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn, sitting courtside, freezing, with a scarf on and a hat, with Brett Dawson of the Oklahoman. Brett?
Happy New Year, Eric.
This is approximately 2 hours, an hour and 51 minutes away.
Yeah, this is our lives. But we're going to be out of here before, we never get out of here before midnight. But tonight, the NBA did us a solid 6 p.m. game.
I said 10:30. We're going to get out of here in 20 minutes.
It's going to be close. Yeah.
We're going to make this a 20-minute podcast.
We don't have to talk much about that.
We don't. We're going to make this quick. We're going to touch on the Thunder's loss. Final score, 116-113 against the Mavericks. They stunk. They stunk defensively.
Pretty good offensively.
Offensively, they actually had a good flow in the first half.
113 against a 12-win team in your building. You should be good to go.
You should.
Yep.
However, boy, did their rotation suck.
It did. They did not. They left so many shooters. Dallas moved the ball well. Dallas played well offensively. They executed their stuff well. They're a weird team because they play. Sometimes they'll put 2 and 3 point guards on the floor at the same time. One of those point guards is going to be awesome.
Dennis Smith was excellent, particularly in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and one of those point guards, they could not defend early. J.J. Barea just couldn't do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle is a great coach, as we know. He's probably a top 5 NBA coach.
Yep.
He gets more out of less than any guy I can remember, in particular against the Thunder, where
these dudes make shots.
Again, the Thunder at times can be a team that thinks it's better than it is.
Yep.
For instance, tonight we get the play on the break where Russell Westbrook throws the little underhand lead pass to Paul George, and he tries to go and just destroy Maxi Kleber.
Yep. Maxi Kleber,
the Jerk's little German disciple.
Yeah. Yes.
There was one play during the game where Dirk was very happy with Maxi, on a screen and roll,
mm-hmm.
and Dirk ran down the court and kind of slapped him on the cheek like, "Nice work, son. Like, proud of you, boy."
V Gates.
Is that what it means?
That means what's up. No. It's like what's up.
He was like Mark Schnell or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make haste. Or,
yeah.
No, he was very proud of his German son.
I speak a little bit of German.
He was very proud of his German son.
Yeah.
And he should have been because, frankly, that guy played well. The Mavs shot well.
Yep.
Harrison
Barnes was good. Hard to defend tonight.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes was good. J.J. Barea. The Mavericks move off the ball, particularly J.J. Barea, is about as well as any team I've seen against the Thunder.
Yep.
And for some particular reason, the Thunder just has a hard time defending that.
It's a weird dynamic, and they had sequences there. They had sequences in the second half. Dirk had one shot that he missed where Dirk, seriously, I thought it was going to be 2018 by the time Dirk shot the thing. It was in the right corner.
Wide open.
And nobody was – Westbrook, like, started to go over there, and you could just, like, see Westbrook doing the math, like, oh, he's got this much time, and I can't get – like, so I'm not going to try. I'm just going to – but the problem was everybody stood on the opposite side of the floor. He shoots it, and Dallas still gets the rebound.
Yeah.
That was problematic.
This wasn't one of Westbrook's best defensive games at home. I thought he was a little bit behind the play when it came to, you know, defending Dennis Smith. He wasn't getting in front of him on those drives. He was kind of getting downhill. Josh Huestis starting in Andre Robertson's spot, he wasn't great. I don't think any Thunder defender was particularly great. Carmelo got backdoored one time with a guy coming down the lane. Steven Adams, a couple of little fouls here and there. Like,
nothing about Paul George's game stood out to me defensively.
No.
Which usually isn't. I mean, usually it does, typically.
Look,
he's going to have a player too.
The Thunder is the league leader in turning people over,
yep,
or steals. They typically get around 10 steals a game, and they only turned the Mavericks over 7 times.
And this is 2 straight games where they really haven't gotten much offense out of turnovers either, which has been a real staple. They didn't do it against Milwaukee, and they didn't do it tonight.
Yeah. Thunder only got 11 points off of turnovers. They're usually in that 14-15 point range in terms of,
I think, points off turnovers. They averaged going into Milwaukee, they were averaging about 19. Second in the league. I think only Toronto was getting more than that. I believe that's right. I think it's 19, or maybe that's the second chance points. I think it was 19 off turnovers, 14 off second chances. And again, this is 2 straight games where they haven't gotten a ton of either one of those. That's been a problem. They had a weird game, not that weird. Dallas is not a great fast breaking team, I don't think. But the Thunder outscored like 15-0 on the fast break, but. They didn't get, Dallas outscored them by a lot in the paint. They didn't get much in second chances. They didn't turn them over very much. And the bench was frankly atrocious. Offensively.
Offensively. See, until Raymond Felton kind of got cooking at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, Thunder only had four steals. That's just that's way below their standard.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George will get that in a good
by
night.
Himself, or Russell Westbrook will get somewhere in between there.
And they are, you know, the steals for them, like Carlisle said tonight before the game, steals aren't usually an indicator of a really great defensive rating team, but with them it is because of they're just different than a lot of teams. They have such length, and George can do so many things in terms of getting steals without really gambling, that they are an excellent defensive team that does get a lot of steals. And so for them, when their steals are down, it is not a good sign.
Even though the steals weren't up, when the Thunder only commits 11 turnovers, they shoot the ball 48% from the field. You know, their three-point percentage is kind of skewed because they were jacking some threes at the end there. Westbrook had to take, like, maybe three-pointers in the last 20 seconds.
Yeah, two in the last possession.
Yeah, just to try and tie the game. The three-point percentage is skewed. It's 31%. But if you take those three away, they're 10 of 29 from the field. I mean, that's not,
they weren't terrible.
It's not awful.
And they got off to a pretty good start shooting the three. They shot it pretty well in the first half. They offensively in the first half, I thought they looked as good. There was a stretch where I thought they looked as good as they have all year for stretches. They were really, the ball was kind of, Paul George drove at one point and kind of really didn't even look at Melo, but knew exactly where he was going to be, and he flipped the ball to him for three, and he hit it. There was a great play, I think, I don't know if you wrote about this, but we definitely talked about it, about, you know, where Steven Adams and Carmelo are coming down the floor together.
Yeah.
Just such a smart play, such an intuitive play by Adams to sort of get out of the way, basically.
Yeah, he just let the ball kind of just sail over his head when he could have caught it, and Carmelo's right behind him. And then in tune, he's setting a screen while this pass from Westbrook is flying over his head, and Carmelo just nails a wide-open three. It's disappointing because you're essentially wasting a great offensive performance.
Yep.
That's the disappointing part.
And look, I will say this about the two games they lose this weekend. It's kind of a lost weekend because, you know, this is a weekend where you could have gone 2-0 and you go 0-2. The Milwaukee game is more understandable just because of the circumstances. Paul George didn't play. It's a really competitive game. You lose on kind of a fluke ending. This game, I'm not going to give them a pass on not having Andre Robertson. It's important to point out that they didn't have their two best defenders on the floor in both these games. Robertson played Friday, but George didn't. George played tonight, and Robertson didn't. They're two best wing defenders. But that's, look, if your defense falls off a table this much because Robertson doesn't play, that's problematic. That's not. I'm not going to let that be an excuse for them. They missed him very clearly. But, you know, that's a guy who's not a really good offensive player. You're going to need to be able to play some stretches of games without him, and you can't be this bad defensively because he's not there.
What did you think about – okay, let's talk about the Abrines minutes tonight, because, you know, Josh Huestis gets 19 minutes. He misses all three of his three-pointers. Pretty awful.
Yeah, he wasn't close
on He wasn't particularly close. He did have a couple of good defensive stands, but, you know, essentially – Josh Huestis was a non-factor.
Yes.
Alex Abrines, he hits 1-3 in rhythm, looked good there.
Did make a three, yep.
But also committed four fouls in 14 minutes.
Yep.
Standard Alex Abrines game.
Yep.
I would have given more of those Alex Abrines minutes to Terrence Ferguson.
Billy Donovan tried it some. In the second half, he went with him first, right? He went with him in what kind of would have been the
That Abrines was the end of Abrines. Once he got those minutes. Four, he didn't play in the second half.
I thought Ferguson was okay.
I thought he was okay.
He gave an effort. Defensively, he had a really nice sequence where he almost got a steal. He didn't get the steal, and he stayed pretty engaged and contested a shot that Dennis Smith Jr. missed from three. So he almost got the steal, and he didn't get discouraged when he didn't. Stayed locked in and at least contested that shot, and the shot missed. You know, look, he's got a long way to go as an NBA player, but he was given an effort, and I think right now he might be giving a little bit better effort than Abrines does at that end.
Abrines is just a foul machine. He can't get out of his own way.
And he's not giving you offense right now. Yeah. He's not making a lot of shots. That's the thing with Abrines.
I would have rather, the way that the Mavs were putting those guards out there, those three-guard lineups, I would have rather have had Terrence Ferguson's defense and then let him get whatever offense comes to him. Because, I mean, frankly, Alex Abrines' offense isn't there right now anyway. Yeah. I mean, we saw Terrence Ferguson get out on the break, finish a Russell Westbrook he finished a layup off a Russell Westbrook pass.
Yep. Ferguson shot a couple of threes. Shot 1-3, maybe?
Shot 1-3, missed it. You know, we saw him kind of get his bearings in terms of defense at the end of that third quarter and put together a couple of good defensive possessions.
Yep.
It's easy to second guess Billy Donovan after the fact, and I know Thunder fans love doing that. But I thought I would have went with Ferguson a little earlier, or a little more rather in the first half.
Yeah.
Than in the second half.
And this is a game where I think some comfort level in playing him because he played okay in Dallas. That was a game where they got like run. They were awful.
Yeah.
And he was probably like minus 20 in that game, but he looked comfortable. He looked like he belonged in that game. And it does seem like this is the sort of game, having played him against his team before, and he's got some familiarity with playing against their personnel, that maybe you could have done it. I don't think those minutes are obviously what cost them the game, like the Abrines versus Ferguson minutes, because they were just bad defensively all across the board. But I do think there's a point there that they could have played him more. This game, to me, and I think there were a lot of people on Twitter who felt this way, this is the sort of game that underscores the idea that they might need another player. I just don't know how they go out and really get that done without – they just don't – you look at them and they don't have very much depth, so there's not a whole lot to make moves with. But I do see the argument today that they just need another guy. They need one more dude.
Yeah, and, you know, people – the first thing people are going to say is, don't tell me they can't trade because they've done it before. And that's right, but, like, don't – basically just don't expect us to like throw out hypothetical names and say that, oh, you can trade Alex Abrines and a trade exception for Lou Williams. It's like, yeah, that's fine. But like, do the Clippers want Alex Abrines? And it, like, come on, man. I mean, unless they're just trying to like just strictly just dump Lou Williams' salary, you're still going to get two more years of Alex Abrines at $6 million. Like, can you get Alex Abrines healthy? Can you get his confidence up? Can you get him making shots to where he either becomes a keeper or you parlay him into something else down the line? Like, it's not as easy as just saying whatever you have is going to turn into something.
Yeah.
Because we didn't think that Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis could turn into Paul George.
Yeah.
So, like, to the people listening, like, don't think that we don't think about this stuff. I just think it's ridiculous for us to come up with scenarios as to what the Thunder can trade to get something.
Yeah,
because who in their right mind ever comes up with the exact scenario that Sam Presti...
Nobody's ever guessed one of his trades.
Yeah,
nobody's ever done it.
It's like, yeah, you can
Carmelo,
guess that he's
maybe
going to make a trade.
People, the Carmelo thing you could kind of see, because Cantor, if you were ever going to get Carmelo Anthony, and his Cantor had to
the
be
money
in that trade.
Yeah, the
so
money
like,
had to work.
Like, that one was kind of easy. You never thought they would get Carmelo, but once it became a possibility, you knew that trade was going to happen. But the other trades, people just don't see it. The thing that kills me, and I get this all the time from people, and I love you people, I love your passion, but like when you're like, Alex Abrines is trash. He's terrible. Billy Donovan should never play him. He's the worst. Let's trade him for something good.
That's not how it works.
Like, who else wants him? If you think he's so bad that he can't play, what do you think somebody's going to give up of value? And look, there are all sorts of situations where teams decide they do want a guy. But the irony of that, it's just funny that people say, it's not irony, but the fact that people say that all the time, this guy is so bad, let's turn him into something good.
That's like the downside of playing Alex Abrines, because you have to play him in order to show any kind of value. But at the same time, he's killing you when he's on the floor.
Yeah.
And look, everybody else in the league knows this too. Like, these guys are playing people because they have to show that these guys are worth the crap. But when they show they're not playing
And oh my gosh, guys know it. I mean, guys out here, they're going at him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening when he gets on the floor.
It's immediate.
Yep.
We see it. Y'all see it at home. The guys playing see it. And Alex Abrines sees it too. And that's why he's committing four fouls in 15 minutes. If you get 50% from Paul George, 47% from Carmelo Anthony, and 60% from Russell Westbrook from the field, you're supposed to win a game.
Yeah. Especially when all those guys, like, they didn't just shoot those percentages. Those were on a pretty decent number of shots, double digit shots, I think, for all three guys.
Yeah,
and it's big numbers. I mean, Westbrook had 38, Paul George had 25. What'd Melo finish with?
21.
Look, if you're playing Dallas and you get 38, 25, and 21 from those guys, and they shoot over 50%, you're supposed to win the game. I mean, you're just flat out supposed to win.
This team still missed 6 free throws. It's nitpicking to say Paul George make 2 more free throws when you made 9 of 11. But look, man, when's it going to stop?
Yeah.
When is Russell Westbrook going to hit 6 of 7 instead of 4 of 7?
And he had an empty trip. He had an 0-for-2 trip, which you just don't ever want to have out of your point guard. Those are little things, but those little things add up. This is a night when you needed all that stuff because your defense just didn't have it. What you really needed was just to play a little bit better defense. And look, you know, again, I'm not going to like – people are like, oh, it's back to pushing the panic button. They're terrible. They're not terrible. They lost a very understandable game to Milwaukee. And this, quite frankly, is a New Year's Eve game in the NBA where weird things can happen. It's just weird things can happen sometimes. These guys just didn't have it tonight. It happens.
Yeah, and just not a good game. You still had to be encouraged from the offense, and that they still had some. And even when it got to the fourth quarter where Westbrook scored a majority of their points, it wasn't out of bad offense. It was Westbrook getting clean looks and making them. It was a Paul George dribble handoff, and then Jeremy Grant setting the screen so Westbrook could step into a jump shot. Like, that's good offense.
Yeah,
like,
and I asked Billy Donovan about Paul George's shots just because he got 10 in the first half. He only got 2 in the second half, and he's kind of going. And I even prefaced the question was like, look, obviously your offense was pretty good, but just out of curiosity, Paul George only gets 2 shots. And he said, look, that's, you know, we were running good offense. They were having a hard time with that center pick and roll with Westbrook, that kind of middle pick and roll. One of those guys had, on any given night, any one of those guys might have to give up the ball that night, and Paul George had to give it up in the second half. He didn't get a lot of looks, but he played a good offensive game, and they were really good offensively. It's hard to nitpick very much on the offense.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with Westbrook until 113-100, and he pulls the three with 20.4 left. I thought he could have went for a two there.
Yeah,
they didn't have a timeout, but I thought that they also could have fouled, put somebody on the line, and then went for – I guess would have been a game-tying shot. 113-110, Westbrook makes a 2 hypothetically. Let's say hypothetically he even gets fouled driving to the basket.
Yeah, right.
You know, that might be a 3-point play.
Right.
I don't ever like Russell Westbrook settling for a 3 when he can get a 2. The last couple of 3-pointers he shot, he had to. They didn't have any timeouts. Yeah. He had to shoot
and
those.
That's the
one shot I had a problem with, and I asked Donovan about it, and he said, you know, we didn't have a timeout. I thought I'd have to go back and look at the tape or whatever they say when they don't remember the play.
Right.
But That's the only shot I really had a problem
with. The first of the two on the last possession, the one he dribbled into, he makes that shot a ton, and you live and die with it. If he doesn't make it, that's fine. You know, like, that's a fine shot, I think. People are always going to say, like, oh, here comes Westbrook with a bad three. That one really wasn't. The one you're talking about, that was a bad three.
Yeah, the one from the left wing, I think, killed him. And then that put Smith back on the line. He made 1 of 2 or something like that.
And then he dribbled into that one that he missed.
Yeah.
And then the last one, who cares? They got the ball back and they threw it to him. He had to shoot it.
Like, but up until that point, Westbrook had only taken 1 3 in the entire game.
Yeah.
He took like 3 in the last 20 seconds. And the only one I had a problem with was the one with 20 seconds left. Wish he would have driven on that, try to get some contact, get to the line, and tie the game. And then you just lock up on defense and see what – and if they beat you on the last shot, they beat you on the last shot.
Part of the thing of being so garbage on defense tonight is that you got to call some timeouts during runs, and it would have been nice to have a little bit of timeout storage.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You played bad. Had to call timeouts.
What did you think about Billy Donovan going to Jeremy Grant as opposed to Steven Adams to match up with the switches?
Yeah, it was interesting. Dallas plays pretty small when they're doing the Dirk at center thing. It's a tough matchup, and, you know, I understood why he did it. I get it. You know, Adams is so good at that stuff, but he's had problems with Dallas. That's been an issue, and I don't really fault Billy for doing it.
Now, did he take Adams off before Westbrook shot the three with 20.4 seconds left? Was Adams off the floor by then?
That's a good question.
Because
I don't know.
I'm
going
to check this, because if he did, this is my problem, and you might be able to.
Offensive rebounding?
Not offensive rebounding. But screen setting for
that too.
Let's see. He did. I think he went. Where is Adams? Yeah, he took. Wow, he took Adams off with 3:27
left. Yeah, it was a long time, and I wasn't sure if he came back in.
And Westbrook actually made. Golly, he actually made 3 jump shots. And their offense actually took. They scored about 4 straight possessions with Adams off the floor, but he never came back.
Maybe
I guess I can't even bang on them for that, because it's like, shush, they score, shush, they score, they score 4 straight possessions when they pull Adams off the floor. It's like, you know, if your offense is rolling and Westbrook's making jump shots, that's fine. And
Dallas is going with that kind of small lineup. That's a challenge for Adams to deal with. I always like Adams being on the floor, but I don't really fault him for that.
Now, I guess that was the Dennis Smith long two, or that was the hook shot over Jeremy Grant, kind of the sweeping shot over Jeremy Grant. This is great podcasting right now.
Eric reads the play by play.
Then the Thunder takes a timeout and he doesn't put Adams back in. See, I might have gone back with Adams once Smith made that shot. Rim protection. If they get you in a switch, Adams can navigate those switches, man. So just live with it. He can navigate those. And then you get a better screen setter to get Westbrook downhill and potentially get a 3-point play. But then, you know, Westbrook has to take that 3. They put Smith on the line. And it's a 5-point game. Paul George gets fouled. from three. That was a comedy. And he makes three.
Yeah.
Whatever. But
that'll be worth looking at in the last 2 minutes. I thought at first they were gonna go review whether Paul George brought his elbow up.
Yeah. The more I think about it, the more this loss does stink for the Thunder, because this team still isn't good enough to think that he can go on the road these next three games and come out with 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I mean,
they're still not good,
because they've got a back-to-back in there, which is tricky. The Lakers aren't bad. They're not a bad team.
Lakers are one of the better defensive teams in the league.
Tonight they got into an incredible 2-overtime shootout and lost to Houston. I don't know what the final of that was, but the last score I saw was 145-142. And that was with James Harden not playing, apparently, because he got hurt. But they're not a terrible team. They're pretty good. The Clippers are whatever. They've got some pieces kind of getting back in the mix. But it's a back-to-back. That's tricky. It's an L.A. back-to-back. In theory, some of the stuff that happens in L.A. wouldn't necessarily happen on your back-to-back because you've got all these days extra to spend in L.A., but who knows? It's L.A., so, you know.
Well, I thought the Lakers were one of the better defensive teams in the league, but apparently they've fallen off a cliff in the past few months. They started off well, and now they're back to 15th
in
defensive rating.
They are in close games. Every time I look up, I feel like the Lakers are in a close game.
Well, I'm going to make – let's see. Before we get on this road trip, or you get on this road trip, I'm going to make a couple of predictions here. I think they're going to beat the Lakers, and I think they'll lose second night of a back-to-back. And I think they're going to lose in Phoenix. I really do. Oof. Phoenix is ripe for effery.
Yeah.
Last time they went to Phoenix.
That is Devin Booker's house.
Yeah, it is his house. the Poland Springs Arena. The last time the Thunder went to Phoenix was an embarrassment. That was the triple-double, the game where Russell Westbrook was trying to tie the triple-double record or whatever, and the crowd was yelling, shoot it! Every time he passed it to somebody, Domantas Sabonis was peeing himself.
You were at that game. I was watching it on television, and I felt dirty.
It was filthy. It was gross.
I felt bad after it was over. That they also lost the previous – they had that stretch last year where they were like – hey, they got a chance to climb up to the four. They could get to the four. And then they go to Portland and Phoenix and just bleh.
Phoenix is not good.
No.
They are allowing 108.7 points per 100, which is 29th in the league. Yet I still think the Thunder is going to go down there and act a fool.
It wouldn't be surprising.
So I'm predicting 1-2 on the trip. Beat the Lakers, lose to the Clippers, and the Phoenix Suns.
I want to be a little more optimistic, but they've been so bad every time I've gone on the road that I don't know how to be optimistic about them.
Yeah, you're not a good luck charm.
I know. They've won one game that I've covered on the road. That was at Indiana. It's the only game they've won that I've covered on the road. I think they're 1-7 in the games that I go. So I haven't seen them play well. I do think they'll beat the Lakers. That Clippers game, if I had to guess, I would guess that they'll lose that game. I think they will beat Phoenix, but man, having watched the way they played in Phoenix last year, I know it's a totally different team.
There's really no excuse for them to lose in Phoenix.
No, they should go 2-1 on this trip.
They're going to have 2 days off.
Yeah.
Now, I'm really going to say they have 1 day off because they're going to have an extra day in L.A.
Right.
And that's basically just
so they play
be
Wednesday, Thursday. Then they have Friday off. Saturday, they'll probably practice in L.A., I think. Maybe they'll go to Phoenix Saturday. I don't know how that'll work. I don't know what their plans are. Because they have a long gap.
They'll practice in L.A. and then fly to Phoenix that night.
Oh, yeah, on like Saturday night.
Yeah.
So they'll take Friday off because they have a back-to-back, so you never practice after two back-to-backs. So they'll take Friday off in L.A., which means Thursday night in L.A. If you're in L.A., go out looking for Thunder on Thursday night. If you're looking to see Thunder at clubs, you'll find them.
There's going
to
be Thunder at clubs Thursday night. And this trip is ripe for effery, I'm telling you, man. It's just – This team got a little bit, they were feeling themselves a little bit.
Yep.
These last two games.
We've seen this happen to them. I mean, this has been a weird habit of theirs, the way that they've played against some of the worst teams in the league, and this was it again. You know, like, I think there's a lot of factors tonight. Like, Robertson, obviously, it's New Year's Eve. Like I said, weird things happen. But you got to take care of this. You need to take care of this game. Find a way and just win the game. Just beat Dallas at home. It's not that much to ask. Every individual game in the NBA is like, you can't make too much of it. But this is one you should win.
Any New Year's resolutions, Brett?
Not really. I'm so bad at them. I never stick with them, so I don't. I try not to. You know, like I'm going to exercise more and eat better. We'll see.
I am going to take up indoor climbing.
Interesting. We got a place for that.
Yeah, I went there last night. It was okay. Awesome. My girlfriend took me there as nice. A present for my Christmas dealy.
Nice.
And fell in love with it immediately. My hands hurt, but I fell in love with it.
I would like to try something new this year. I did some like when I was living in Kentucky for a while, I did some like jiu-jitsu stuff, just like very briefly. Huh. I wouldn't mind trying that again. If anybody's got some suggestions on places to do that, holler at me. I'm at B. Dawson Writes on Twitter.
Hit them up. Light them up. Thanks for joining us for a great 2017 on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We will see you in the 2018. We will see you in Los Angeles. Brett will see you in Los Angeles. And once again, thanks for your ears and listening abilities. Bye.